Well, about this time every year, I do a vision message. And normally what I do in that is I put out what I believe that the Lord has spoken to me and kind of verified with the senior leaders of the church. And then we kind of move forward from that. But I want to say this morning that I believe that today, vision-wise, is more than a vision. It is more of a manifesto, I would say, than it is vision. That it is our stake in the ground. This is who we are, and this is what we're aiming to be. And then what we do will come out of that. And so I'll get to some of that later on. Now, the holidays are behind us, and for some of us, that's a really good thing. But we go into the holidays with all kinds of expectations that it will be full of connection and joy and rest. But very frequently, for many of us, it brings a big disappointment because what we expect on the one hand and what we actually experience are, in many cases, drastically different, but almost always somewhat different than what we expected. Someone will go sideways over the meal not being perfect. Another person in our families might you know, squabble over things not being fair. I mean, if you have kids that are, you know, high-powered, you know, wired 440 kids like mine, there's some of that that goes on. There's squabbles over one family member controlling everything and inviting some sort of tenseness or tug of war that infects seemingly everything. I'm obviously speaking out of my own experience here. And or you have others that feel the ghost of Christmas past. That is, your past memories and hurts invade and steal the joy and connection of the season. Some of us are also kind of stuck in old roles. Well, this is what little Bobby did. This is what little so-and-so did. And so we come back into family and we're kind of frozen back into our old roles. But it's family. It's raw. It's imperfect. And it's family. It's sometimes even painful. And I think that I noticed sometimes that in many people, and in myself included, that we breathe a long sigh of relief when it's over, not really realizing that we've actually been holding our breath for a long time. Because somehow there's this, we know that family is good, we know that this connection is good, but it somehow quite frequently doesn't meet the expectations that we bring to it. And so the season can leave us empty and disillusioned and even angry. I've talked to many of you who are angry after you met with your family. The reality is that family can be very good, but it is also very hard. And quite frankly, not very many of us are very good at it. Would you agree with that? That not very many of us are very good at it. Our instincts don't serve us. And so today what I want to talk to you about in this manifesto, this vision, is I want to talk to you about family. And I want to acknowledge at the very beginning that it's a sticky topic. It's laden with all kinds of unmet expectations, disappointment, and pain. Like when we talk about God as Father, we're talking about a kind of thing that the definitions of these things are written deeply into our souls, and so they're very difficult to edit and to redefine. Yet we still have to do it because God as Father is still Father, even though we might have issues with our earthly father, we still have to deal. And we still have to move into truth with that. Same thing that goes with the family, that all these old things are written on our souls with family, and we've got to go back and rewrite it if we want to move fully into the inheritance that we have in Jesus. We have to. And we're committed to that here at the Springs. Now, I think that as a family, as God designed it, is the solution, I believe, to the core problem of every human being. Put another way, family is God's answer to our deepest issues. It can be the most satisfying and healing and connective and transforming expression of God on the earth. It can be, but it frequently isn't that. But realize this, that the forgiveness that Jesus paid for us on the cross, that we celebrate all the time, that we have this symbol of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, this is all a bridge. The cross is not the end. The cross is a bridge into the family of God. Not just in relationship with God, but into relationship with God in God's family. And this is how God always intended it. He didn't die for you so that you could have your own little individualized relationship with God. He died for you so that he could yoke you into his glorious and beautiful and imperfect and raw and real family. And that he could work on you in the midst of that family, just like we do with our own earthly families. And so, in this, I think it's important to say at the very start that when we're talking about family, we're talking about the result of the work of a father and a son. Think for a moment. Everything that we're talking about today, everything that we talk about every single day when we open up the Bible every single Sunday, is we look into God's Word in this, and what we're looking at is the work of a father and a son, yoking you and I into a family, their family. And so listen to what the Scriptures say about this, and I had, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 passages that I had in here, and I had to bring them down to four here just for the sake of brevity. Paul, the apostle, writes in Galatians chapter 6, he says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers or the household of believers." I love this one, Psalm 68, 6. God sets or places the lonely in families. Paul, again, in Romans 8, he says it this way, "You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You don't say Abba, Father to a CEO or to a king unless that king is your dad. But you say that because you've been brought into a family. And then Paul talking about spiritual leadership and the inadequacy that he sees going on there, he says, "Though you have 10,000 teachers in Christ, you do not have many fathers." What he's saying is that you and I need fathering, all of us. And these words, father, son, family, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, household, and children of God, they're literally everywhere in the New Testament. Just do a cursory search on the word son in the NIV, you'll find it's in the New Testament 440 times. Love is something like 30 or 50. Son, daughter, all those things. These words actually eclipse everything. Why? Well, because God shares his love, his resources, his blessing, his support, and his inheritance with his family. The inheritance comes with the family. It always has. This eternal life, the eternal life, flows in connection. And in the connection we have both with God and with each other. The eternal life comes that way. In it, it is grown in that way. Not just this way, but this way and this way. Not just this way, but this way and this way. This is how God designed it. And it gives him incredible pleasure. Family. Would you say that word with me? Family. Oh, that was really lame. Family. 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 Thank you, Brooklyn. That's what we are here at the Springs. And what we are building here at the Springs, a healthy, connected, expanding family. A family is a birthing center. A family is a warm hug. A family is a potter's wheel. A family is a hospital. A family is a launch pad for all of us. But family is hard. Family is hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would be doing it well. But the reality is that broken people break people. Hurting people hurt people. And what ends up happening is we pass these things on and we have to say at some point in time, enough. We're going to build something in our own nuclear family that is new and different and beautiful. And we're going to work our buns off to do it. And as a church, we have to do the same thing. Because our society is splintering us and separating us. No, it takes effort, it takes work, it takes intention to build a healthy family. And because it does, we simply often settle for simply attending. But you don't attend your family. You're part of it. You belong. Family. At heart, a family is a community of interconnected, committed relationships. Human contact. Everyone needs it. Everyone. Few find it. Social media cannot, will not, does not provide that. It might be good, it might feel like pseudo-contact, but I saw a cartoon years ago that had a person, you know, the deceased was in a funeral parlor, and they said, well, she had 6,000 friends, but all the seats are empty because they were all Facebook friends. It's like, no, you need, and I need, human contact. In his brilliant TED Talk, addiction expert Johan Hari, I would really recommend you looking this up, it's called Everything You Heard About Addiction Is Wrong, But he said it this way: we've traded floor space, that is bigger homes, for friends. We've traded stuff for connections. And the result is that we have one of the loneliest societies that has ever been. Speaking about addiction in particular, but I think this applies to everyone, he said the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. It's connection. It's connection. It's what all the studies are finding. And so today what I want to look at as our big idea is I want to define and redefine what family means and what God is building here. And then to call us onto the playing field of committed family relationships. I believe that it is in that family, in those family relationships, that we grow and we change. If we don't have family relationships, typically we're frozen or we kind of eke along. But in the family relationships, we grow and we change, and we become then the launch pad for each one of us as change agents in the world that God has placed us in. It was June 13th of this last year, and I was sitting with the Lord and asking him about the vision thing. And if you travel in any leadership circles whatsoever, the articles are everywhere about the vision thing, having a vision from God. And as I was asking the Lord about this, he started this dialogue with me, and I have this, it's to me, still a little bizarre, because I want the Lord to treat me like a child, but he treats me like an adult. So I say, Lord, what do you want me to preach often? And the Lord will say, well, what do you want to preach? I'm like, not the right answer, Lord. He said, well, what do you think the body needs to hear? And I'll say, three, this, 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 and this. And he says, well, I like all of those. I'm the messenger. Do you get that? Messenger? And the Lord basically interacts with me and says, no, this is father-son stuff. So which one do you think? All of them are plan A. Which one? This one? Great. So this is how, so the Lord speaks this to me. He says, the Springs, I asked about the vision thing, and the Lord says, the Springs is a family. And I said, okay. And he said, a family. He said, you can be family better, but that is the heart of it. You can be family better, but that is the heart of it. That is what God has birthed us. And in an instant, the last 32 years of my life made sense, because those years were filled with God making me a dad. He was challenging different concepts and shaping and envisioning, and I was unlearning and learning new things all about family. The desire had always been there, but the instincts simply weren't there. I didn't know what I was doing. I was afraid to have kids because I didn't want to ruin them, because I had no instincts for this. And the Lord has spent all of this time molding and shaping me. And so the dialogue with the Lord continues, and it goes sort of like this. And often the Spirit will kind of awaken something in me. I'll voice it to the Lord. I'll know instinctively that it's the Lord when I speak it back to him, but it seems like it's my idea. He kind of likes that. It's like he doesn't mind who has the idea. And I said, well, Lord, a family is belonging and connection. Yes, he said. It's where we're formed and where we learn and are trained. Yes. It's where we're healed when we're broken and we're picked up when we fail. Absolutely. It's where we find our calling and are launched into life. Now you're on to something. So I want to take those things that I've just said to you, and I want to put those into five key words that I believe describe, at least get us onto the playing field of redefining and defining family and what this family looks like, and I believe that what all of your families can look like if you really work at it. With God's help, obviously. This isn't like, oh, let's just pull ourselves up by our bootstrap. This is, I believe, what God is saying to us. So the first one, and as you look at your bulletins, we're starting with number two. I do understand how numbers work, but we're starting at two, and then we'll get back to one, all right? Just so that you know that. The first word that describes family, what we're building here and what we want to build in our nuclear families, is belonging. That's the first word, belonging. Belonging. A family is where you belong and experience belonging. You are a part of something, that you matter to these people. It's not a club. It's not a meeting. It's not a service, a church service. It's a unit. That's, and when family is working, the connection is life-giving. There's touch and warmth. There's mercy and patience and understanding. There's support and encouragement. You're a part of something bigger than yourself, as I said. You're enfolded. And that belonging, that connection, settles you. It settles you. You're no longer alone. You don't have to look for love in all the wrong places. You have it. It's family. Belonging. I've mentioned before that my high school youth group was pivotal for me in my growing up years. My family was falling apart, and this is a place where I actually met Jesus there. But and honestly, just to put it out there, I didn't go to the high school group at our church because I really wanted to know Jesus better. There were a lot of cute girls there. That was my sole reason. That's why I learned how to play guitar. Who knew that God could actually redeem that? But I learned how to guitar for the chicks, play guitar for the chicks. I went to youth group for the chicks, and the Lord felt like that was good bait for the hook. So my family's falling apart. My parents are divorcing. It's confusing. I'm a sophomore in high school. They've been separated twice before. It's very painful. It's hard to tell in my own heart whether I'm relieved by them getting a divorce or I'm pained by it, and it's actually kind of both in equal measures. Enter the youth group at Littleton United Methodist Church. I went for the girls, but when I showed up, I found a family. When I showed up the first day, I had probably 6 or 7 or 8 people bury me in a big warm hug. Our family just did not touch. I'm a touch guy. So for me, it was like, what is this? Over the next several weeks and then years, our youth pastor, whenever I would walk in the door, he would say out loud, Bobby! He would just yell it out. And everybody would look and everybody would laugh. And then he would bury me in a big bear hug. But what that community, what that family did was it settled me in this very unsettling time of my life. Somehow, this gawky, skinny, long-haired teenager fit. I belonged. It was home. And I didn't have a home, so to speak, with my own parents, but I had a home with God's people. Belong. Family is belonging, and everyone needs it. I love the way that the scripture talks about this topic. It talks frequently about us belonging to God. But it also talks about us belonging to each other. I love the way that Paul recounts this in Romans chapter 12. He says, each member of the body belongs to all the others. So actually, you belong to me, and I belong to you. Really. Not just figuratively, but from God's point of view, this is the real deal. This is family. Family is belonging. Secondly, family is forming. I'm using all the participial versions of these that family is a place where you're formed and you're shaped. A healthy family is the most solid launch pad for a kid into life. A healthy family launches them, and if the family isn't healthy, it's also perhaps the greatest handicap to launching into what we're actually for in life. That in our families, we learn about life. We're formed. We learn about the world and our place in it, in relationships and boundaries and consequences. And in there, our internal compass is shaped, but we're formed and shaped within the context of a family. All of us are, for good and for bad. All of us are. And a church family is God's potter's wheel. That's the image that so sticks in my mind here. It's where God puts his hands on each of us through others. In relationship, he challenges parts of us that simply don't work. In relationship, because we're on the potter's wheel, he scoops out the inner things that are harming you and the ones that you love. He brings shape to what you're made for. And you have to do, quite frankly, a lot of unlearning, sort of a Yoda thing. You must unlearn what you have learned. But seriously, walking in this Christian life, according to what God says about me and or what my family of origin kind of put into my soul. These are very different things, and I must unlearn one thing to learn another. But those two things frequently don't go together. So in a family, you and I are being shaped by God. And what's interesting is that we are all on the potter's wheel. Listen to carefully here. We're all on the potter's wheel individually, simultaneously, together, all at one time. Every single one of you that are sitting in these seats are on the potter's wheel, and God is working his own unique work in you. He's putting his fingers and his fingerprints all over you. He's hollowing you out. He's putting new things in and putting the capacity for new things into you. He's doing that constantly, and he's doing that within the context of all of us together. And then he's doing that also to us as a church together. I think it's beautiful and it's mysterious. But he is doing that, and so because the Lord is, look at the person next to you for a second. Just look at them. Just look around. Every single one of those people are being shaped by God, and they're not all done yet. They're not all done yet. And because they're not all done yet, we need to treat each other with extraordinary patience, mercy, and understanding. Because we're all on the potter's wheel, individually, simultaneously, together. This is formation. That's the family. And Paul talks about this. He uses this language, and I think in a pretty direct way. This is kind of catching him mid-sentence. He says, "My dear children," in Galatians 4, "my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." That's how he sees his ministry with people, is that they're formed in Christ. That they're not just informed in Christ, they're formed in Christ. So we have belonging and we have forming. The third thing, the third feature of a healthy family is, I would say, is healing. That a family is the place where we're picked up when we fall down. That we can, it's a place where we can take risks and fail and it's not fatal. That it's where people believe in us even when we don't believe in ourselves. Where soothing, encouraging words and touch can settle us. Where we can heal, and where we can be a part of other people's healing as well. Where we can sit with another, hear their story, listen to their pain, be with them in their pain. It's family. We're family. We are family. Family is a hospital. It's a healing place. So when you enter here broken, you don't have to appear that you act like you're doing well. I really want to encourage you with that. Because when you come and show up to any gathering at the Springs, I pray that you don't fake it. That you don't fake it till you make it. That you come in and perhaps and hopefully there's some people that care enough about you to be able to notice and say, "Hey, what's going on? I'm really doing poorly. I had a terrible week. Well, what was going on?" And you have a chance to unearth those things. And maybe you have a chance to pray together. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just get a big, long hug. But you're with these people, and it's a healing place. Now, imagine for a second, if you walk into a hospital with a gaping head wound. You walk into a hospital, and somebody there, you know, as you initially get in, says, "Wow, let me help you with that." And you say, "With what?" "It's just a flesh wound." And you kind of act like it's just a scratch. But you wouldn't do that because you go to the hospital to find out what's going on with you, to find out what's wrong, and to find healing. And so I love the way that the Apostle Paul summarized this in 2 Corinthians 13. He's kind of landing the plane of his whole letter, this very emotive letter of 2 Corinthians. And as he's landing the plane, he summarizes some of these things that he wants them to give their full attention to. And the biggest thing he says is, strive for full restoration. Would you say those words with me? Strive for full restoration. One more time. Strive for full restoration. Finish the text out with me. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live at peace. This is family. This is what family does. And so in family, we've got belonging. We've got forming. We've got healing. And fourthly, we've got calling. Now, family is the place where hopefully you discover who you are and what you are made for. This has been part of the biggest thing for us in our parenting of our kids. For those of you that don't know, we have four adult children, 31, 29, 27, and 23. And each one of those kids came out of the womb with a completely different personality. If you have kids, you know that this is how this works. They don't come out like, oh, well, this is just kind of one-size-fits-all type of thing. No, Daniel comes out of the womb, happy-go-lucky, life of the party. Hannah, she's compassionate and warm and intense. Karis is magnetic and effervescent and drew people in. Becca is athletic and observant and wants things done right. Each one of them actually has this tenacious thing inside of them against anything that they see as unjust. If they see a fight between two people, they will step in the middle of it. Hannah did it. We had to bail her out a lot of times. Now, what's interesting is that each kid needed different parenting. And each kid went through their own unique phases. Think about that. Every one of you did. Every one of you that got through your teenage years, you went through distinct phases in this. So, you know, Daniel, in one of his phases, and some of the phases are intolerable. Let's just acknowledge that. But Daniel, in one of his phases, he made the most ungodly, otherworldly noises at the top of his lungs just to try it out. It was like, are you crazy? Maybe. But each kid went through all of these phases, and our job is to help each one discover what they are about, to find their unique calling, not my unique calling, because God has made each one of them unique, and each one of them have found their calling. So I'm not speaking out of school in this. I do understand that I didn't look at Daniel and say, I want you to be a pastor. Actually, I tried to get Daniel not to be a pastor. It's just too painful. But he felt the call of God and he pursued it. Hello, McFly. So Daniel is a pastor. Hannah's a therapist. Karis is a career coach. Becca is a nurse. And they all have found what they're for, at least for now. And our job was to come alongside of them close enough to look at who God has made them and to draw it out. And to find their calling. And so that's one of the reasons why I don't call this last one launching, but calling, because there's something about calling that is a part of who you are, of how God has made you. Now, I want to ask you to think for just a moment. What is one thing that you have done in your life that when you did it, it was so in sync with who you are that you felt as though you were breathing pure oxygen when you were doing it? Let me just give you a quick example. For me, a lot of times, because I love preaching and teaching, but it's when I'm telling stories, that's when I feel the pure oxygen of who I am. I'm a storyteller. I love it. When is one time that you can think of where you did something, you participated in something, and you gave of yourself, and it was so in sync with who you are that there was almost a high that was associated with it? That's your calling. That's how God has made you. The New Testament calls you God's servant, uniquely called for impact and influence. And it is the leader's job to help you find it and to help you be released into it. That's how the Apostle Paul describes this in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to do all the ministry for the body of Christ. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that, but that's kind of how we have developed here. But it says, no, those people, all these leaders, their job is to equip the people of God for works of service, or to equip them for the work of ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. So in the New Testament, it says that you are all the ministers, and that the leaders are the ones that are the equippers so that you can do the ministry, so that you can find what God has uniquely made you to be. So family helps us into our calling. So family is belonging. Family is forming. Family is healing. Family is calling. Now, that was 2, 3, 4, and 5. As I sat with the Lord, I said, it just feels like, you know, where's the outreach in this, Lord? Where's the outreach in the evangelism and reaching people? And then it occurred to me, a family is where babies are born. It's where babies are born. And so this fifth thing, which is number one in sequence, birthing is this number one. Birthing, belonging, forming, healing, calling. Those five words, those five themes, that family is a birthing center. Think about that for a moment. That's where most people are born. I mean, you're born in a hospital, but you're born into a family, right? Hello? I don't think you were born in a barn. The New Testament uses two primary metaphors to describe your entrance, how you got into the family of God. One is by birth, the new birth, and the other one is by adoption. Both of these are powerful metaphors that describe something that God has done. Jesus said to Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Peter talks about the new birth, that we have this new birth in Christ. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, using the other metaphor, he wrote, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. So you're born anew into a family, and you're adopted in. Pick your metaphor, but both of them apply to you if you put your trust in Jesus. In both of these scenarios, really important to hear, in both of these scenarios, you get the full status of being. Now, and it's important for, you know, lest any feminists say, you know, when I say firstborn sons, what I mean is not to say anything feministic or misogynistic in this. What the scripture is talking about is that you, when you get adopted in and get born in, you receive the full rights of the inheritance of the firstborn son. And that's a very big deal. In the ancient world, a very big deal. So that's what men and women get, those same rights. They get that inheritance. They get a new identity. They get the eternal life inside of them because the king lives here now. He lives here. He lives here. Where does the king live?
Here.
Right. Point to your here. And God wants us to be a family where many, many babies are born. Both physically, and it brings great joy to me just to see how many, you know, little kids and babies being born here. It's just it's a hoot. And I want to say, as a grandparent, there's just nothing quite like little kids that you don't have to change their diapers. No, God has called us to be a family where many babies are born, a contagious family. Invite you in family, where there's room for new members. Even eccentric Uncle Fred, there's room. We're not all alike. We're very diverse. And yet this is God's best for us, for you, and for me. So that's it. That, I believe, is more than a vision. It's more than just the thing that we're going to do in 2020. I believe that this is core DNA for the Springs. And I believe everything launches off of this. I think that everything interlaces into this. All of our programming, all of our priorities, all of these things completely in sync with our core values and everything that God has made us to be. This is what God has birthed the Springs for, to be a healthy, connected, expanding family where people are born, they belong, they're formed, they're healed, and they're launched. And I have to say this again, and you'll hear me saying this over and over again. Actually, as I talked about this with Ben a number of months ago, Ben said, you know, Bob, you're going to have to redefine and redefine and redefine and redefine, because it's a very powerful concepts that you're dealing with that are inside of the human soul that are not easily corrected and redefined. So I realize that, but I can't not do this. This is who we are. This is who I am. This is the result of 32 years of shaping on the potter's wheel for me, myself. And it took that long for me to actually embody it in some meaningful way. I am a dad. I'm not a perfect dad, but I'm a pretty good one. And I'm speaking to you this morning kind of more than just as the senior pastor of this church, but as kind of one of the senior dads of this church. And I'm inviting you into this. I believe that this is the most fun, that you can have on earth is being with God's people and God's family. It should be more fun than anything else. Seriously, this isn't just a religion. This, in fact, it isn't a religious thing. It's a family thing. It's imperfect and raw. Really, really imperfect and raw. It's real. It's authentic. It's supportive. And it's warm. And so as we go into this year, let me just give you get your imagination going a little bit in terms of some of the things that we're thinking about. And I'm just only going to use two at this morning, but there are a couple of emphases, and I believe that with these five emphases, if you will, that there will be certain ones that God sort of gives us the permission to go and to attend to them a little bit more, all of them being equally important. But from a healing point of view this year, one of the things that we believe that God is calling us to do, and this is primarily charge led by my wife, is that we need to be able to deal face up without shame with sex addiction and porn addiction in our midst. The studies are abysmal in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ. Between 70 and 80% of American males are porn addicted or sex addicted. And we must address this, and we must address this heads up. So that's something we're going to be doing on both the male and female side of the equation here. Secondly, also we're going to be giving significant attention to raising up the next generation of leaders for this church. You younger ones, we're going to give a lot of attention to that. We believe that God has called us to do that and to take on less leadership and to give more leadership away by raising up people, younger ones, to take their place, and that this church has leaders as we go into the next 20 and 30 years. And honestly, I'm not going to last that long. So, and I'm not going anywhere. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not giving a pre-resignation. I'm just saying that I believe that God has called us to raise up the young ones into positions of leadership and to give them responsibility and authority and help them make this church their own. And so we're going to be doing that as well. So what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to commit to this family. I want to ask you this morning, each one of you, to commit to this family, to investing in it, to being a part of it. Andy Stanley so beautifully and so practically says things like this all the time, but he put it this way when in terms of putting some definition. He said, relationships are built on small, consistent deposits of time. You can't cram for what's most important. If you want to connect with your kids, you've got to be available consistently, not randomly. It's the same with our church family. And so as I just kind of kept writing and I had to kind of put a stop on it at one point in time, here's what I mean when I say commit to this family. Commit to showing up and to building solid connections with two or three people. Join a small group as small groups launch. Join a ministry team and serve. Come early for coffee and pastries and share there. Stay late and connect and pray and laugh. Go out to lunch with members of your church family. Invite them over. Play Uno, Settlers of Catan, Texas Hold'em, Bunko, watch movies, raise your kids together, share your story, all of it, all the unseemly pieces as well. Share your story with others. Ask good questions. Get to know others. Let them know you. Be part of this family and find your place. Find home. There's a slide that we put up from time to time. That the first time that I saw it, it just resonated so deeply in my heart. It just says, instead of welcome to our church service, it just says, welcome home. That's what we want to be, and that is who we are. Now, I want to ask you to step further into that and help us make this the family that God wants it to be. Amen? Would you stand up and pray with me, please?